The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
The Messianic Thread, what we've been thinking about lately here on Grace in Focus. Today, we're looking at Zechariah, this minor prophet, paints a comprehensive portrait of Christ, both in his first advent and his second coming. Stay with us, friend. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. There you will find many offerings, products, podcasts, ebooks, our magazine, and a bookstore, where, among other things, Bob Wilkins' latest book can be found, titled, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. National conference details there as well, faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkins and Philippe Sterling.
All right, Philippe, as we're ending our safari of Christ in the Old Testament, or the Messianic thread in the Old Testament, we come to a very important book, Zechariah, which is one of the quote-unquote minor prophets, not minor because it's of lesser importance, but minor because it's shorter, although it's, I guess, the longest of the minor prophets, right?
Yeah, 14 chapters for Zechariah, more chapters than Daniel.
Right. You know.
And it is one of the great messianic books of the Old Testament.
Yes.
Because we talked about the portrait of Christ that emerges in the book of Psalms and also in Isaiah. And Zechariah, in those 14 chapters, equals that defined portrait of Christ for us, both at his first coming, his second coming, his suffering and his glory, his coming as the judge of all the earth, destroying all the armies at Armageddon and so forth. But we can begin with chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "Behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place he shall branch out, and he shall build a temple of Yahweh." And so talking about the messianic temple of the messianic age, ultimately.
And that, is that the branch related to Nazareth?
The branch is related to all the statements concerning out of the house of Jesse, out of the David, that ultimately will come one who rules over all the earth. So the branch is a messianic image that is there in Isaiah and some of the other prophets, but fulfilled by this one who is Zechariah presents to us. And it brings the best-known passage, messianic passage, that we have in Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9.
Yes. In fact, chapter 9, verses 9 and 10 are two of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. So, yeah, why don't you read that?
Sure. "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth."
Yeah, now what's really odd here, Philippe, is Zechariah 9:9 clearly refers to the triumphal entry of Jesus, right?
Quoted in the Synoptic Gospels.
Coming in on a donkey and the foal of a donkey, and that occurred.
And he's humble. It's a humble presentation of himself to the nation that occurs, the nation of Israel.
Right. And he's called the king. And they're saying Hosanna when that happened. That was 33 A.D.
That initial reception, joyous, glad, but of course quickly turning.
Less than a week later, they kill him.
Yes.
But then verse 10 is not talking about 33 A.D. Verse 10 hasn't occurred yet.
Yes, he has yet to come and establish his dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. So we have 2,000 plus years before verse 10 is fulfilled. So between verse 9 and verse 10, there's this great gap.
Right, called a messianic gap or a valley. And oftentimes in prophecy, even though there's no indication, there's a large time gap between sections. And here it's between verses. And you see the same thing, for example, in the parable of the minas in Luke 19. In verses 16 through 26, you have the judgment seat of Christ. Three servants are judged, and he finishes his judgment of the third servant. And then he says, but bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them in my presence.
And that has not yet occurred. This is Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment.
And so the first judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, is before the millennium. The second judgment, the great white throne judgment, is after the millennium. So there's a 1,000-year gap between Luke 19:26 and Luke 19:27. Well, here, the gap's even more than 1,000 years. So far, it's almost 2,000 years. If we make it to 2033, before the rapture, it'll be 2,000 years, and then there's still 7 years of the tribulation before he is established as king. And some of that, by the way, comes up later in chapters 12, 13, and 14, when it talks about him setting foot on the Mount of Olives, him ruling and reigning. All that's in Zechariah, right?
Right. So we have this presentation of the Messiah to the nation. He is rejected. Yet there will come a time when the nation will grieve over that and will come to believe and to receive him. And we pick that up in chapter 12, verse 10. It states, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced.
That's a reference to the cross.
Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And in that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem.
Well, when is this going to be? This has not happened yet.
This is going to be happening at the end of the tribulation.
In other words, all the adult Jews that are surviving are going to be believers. And they're going to be mourning the fact that they had rejected him for so long.
Right. And they will be ready to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Which
fully
is Zechariah 9:9.
Right.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
And then what about him setting foot on the Mount of Olives? Isn't that also in Zechariah? Just before Armageddon begins, he's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives?
So chronologically, what that follows, the whole nation, all of the surviving Jews, which we know is one-third of the Jews, that two-thirds of the Jews during the tribulation period will perish, will die. But one-third will survive to the end, and that fully that one-third will believe, will mourn, and then what happens next? Of course, they believe, they mourn, and all the nations of the armies of the world basically are gathered together there to destroy them, whatever remained.
At the end of the 7 years.
At the end of the 7 years. And then we pick it up from Zechariah in chapter 14. Behold, the day of Yahweh is coming. In verse 2, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, and terrible things there. Verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. And in that day, the Lord himself will judge armies and slay them and deliver. But because the nation has believed, has grieved, he comes back. And his feet touched down on the Mount of Olives. Of course, there's a valley in between the Mount of Olives and, I guess, Mount Moriah, where the Temple Mount is. And that's where he's going to return. And the nations will have gathered. They've been gathered in battle against Jerusalem. The city is taken. But then that's when the Lord himself comes down and intervenes. And then, after all of that, the judgments that occur there, verse 9 of chapter 14, and Yahweh, the Lord, that's all capitalized, Lord, shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be. The Lord is one and his name one. So the returning Christ is there and clearly called Yahweh here. He shall be king over all the earth. So Zechariah gives us that complete picture.
And by the way, the disciples understood that Jesus is the king, except for Judas, of course, and they knew he was going to rule and reign. But what they expected was no gap between Zechariah 9:9 and Zechariah 9:10.
Right.
That's why in Matthew 16, when Jesus says, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be mistreated, I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to rise on the third day, what does Peter say?
By no means, Lord.
Right. He rebukes Jesus, and he says, this isn't going to happen. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You've set your mind not on the things of God, but things of man. They needed to recognize before he's going to rule and reign, he's got to suffer.
Right.
Isaiah 52, 53, we talked about before, has to occur, or Psalm 22, Zechariah, the one whom they pierced, all that has to happen before the ruling and reigning.
And even after the resurrection, in those 40 days of appearance and teaching and everything,
right,
they're still asking, Acts 1, Lord, is it now that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? So even then, they weren't understanding fully what we now know.
Well, most dispensationalists would say, and I'm sure you'd agree, that if Israel, under the preaching of the apostles, had nationally come to faith in Christ, then the kingdom would have come in the first century.
Right, the 70th week of Daniel would have taken place. Because we know from Daniel 9 that the...
Yeah, 24 to 27, there would have been 7 years.
Right.
But after that, Jesus could have come in 40 A.D.
Right. And the judgment of 70, all the events of the 70th of Daniel, of the covenant of the men of sin and everything...
Could have happened.
Could have happened in that generation.
In fact, most dispensations would say in the early portions of the book of Acts, the apostles were re-offering the kingdom to Israel.
Yeah, and possible even throughout a good bit of Paul's ministry as he was going to the Jew first and everything involved the good news of the kingdom too.
Well, in fact, James says, James 5:9, the judge is standing at the door. Mm-hmm. And we don't know, but James could have been written as early as 34 mm-hmm. or at least by 45. And there already was heightened expectation that Jesus was returning. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Philippe. This has been a fantastic series, and we've ended on Christ in Zechariah. And in the next episode, what we're going to do is kind of just overview everything we said about the messianic thread in the Old Testament. And in the meantime, let's all
keep grace in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We hope you have a wonderful weekend that includes fellowship with others at a Bible teaching church. Then come back on Monday for another episode, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.